live at the Bistro on B Street in Hayward, and this is Sean.
This is Jesse. I'm here too.
We're the Highbrow Lowbrow team. We're coming down to our final live episode, which we're going to be doing here at the Bistro.
That's a Cal State East Bay transport bus right
yes.
there.
So we're going to be here doing our live show. We're going to have a lot of great things for you. We're going to have...
Well, when will it be, Sean?
It will be November 29th at 5 p.m. right here at the Bistro. That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. After you have your turkey, come over here and have a brew with us.
Very nice. And we'll be here with featuring some live music, a few prizes for the daring souls who attempt our soul-crushing quiz.
Yes, and we will also have... ourselves doing our great podcast.
Hey man, see the bearded too in person.
Yes.
The bearded ones.
And then the Bistro is a great place to be because you can get all sorts of brews. We are enjoying what now, Jesse?
I think this is called Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Oh, okay. And that's good. You can have a Sierra Nevada Celebration.
It'll probably still be up on the board in 10 days. Yeah.
So you can enjoy that with us. Hey Jesse, so what else? Have you watched anything these past couple weeks?
Dude, I wanted to talk to you about, I watched RoboCop, the original.
Oh, all right. Paul now, Verhoeven, right?
Yeah, man, this movie is crazy, man. It's a crazy movie. Now, here's why I had history with this. I had this friend in elementary school. I'll give you sort of a sob story first. I remember his name was Jason. I won't get into his last name for whatever. So his name was Jason. I remember one time in like fourth grade, we were supposed to fill out some kind of paper in our class, like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite animal? Who's your best friend, you know, whatever. And I remember I put, like, Jason is my best friend.
Oh.
And I look over at his paper and he put somebody else.
Oh, you know? No.
Why do I remember that? I don't know. It's just sort of tore at my heart and I still remember it now. Anyway, his house was pretty crazy. Like, it's a kind of a cat house. Mm-hmm. Like, he would have a dozen cats. And then sometimes I would need to go to his house after school, but I would be by myself because maybe my mom was working or something. It was close to... And I don't know why he wasn't there with me, but a few times, his family had this huge Afghan dog that would, like, stand watch at the door, and I would be super scared. Like, it was really intimidating. So, anyway, it was a weird house. It had some issues. And they would watch super age-inappropriate movies all the time. Like, I saw Pet Sematary there on a sleepover, and I'm, like, 10.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was just not the scene that my parents would have envisioned me getting into.
Yeah.
You know? But that's what happens, you know? You go to friends' houses, and they show you all kinds of gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the movies I saw over there was RoboCop.
Huh.
And it was too much for me, man. As a kid, right?
Yeah,
dude.
Intense.
I retreated to the kitchen when he was when they got RoboCop in that bloodbath in the warehouse, you know?
Yeah.
You know the scene I'm talking about. Like, they shot him so many times.
He was pre-RoboCop.
Pre-RoboCop, when he was just regular cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a movie though. I don't see why there's a need to remake because I thought the execution of it was quite stellar, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like it's somewhat timeless, other than, you know, a decent amount of '80s hair and '80s styling.
Yeah.
That's in it, but I mean,
it still sort of practices the excesses of the '80s in terms of the gore, the action. It does have a '80s feel, but I think that's good for it. I think it fits it.
Sure.
And
but I think the message of corporate culture taking over is more true now than ever. You know, and also just, you know, the militarization of society, particularly, you know, the Western world, where we just try to solve problems by having bigger gadgets or bigger guns or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty great, really, man. Yeah,
good.
I really enjoyed it. But as an adult, you know, like, I wanted to watch it again and see why it left such a mark on me.
Uh-huh.
And it really did. Like, I was super frightened and you're staying overnight at somebody's house. It's like, dude, I'm in the care of these parents here. Like, what am I supposed to do? They're watching it. Their kids are watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm supposed to be down with this, but it was too much, you know?
Yeah.
Can you think of any movies like that for you? Like, when you're over at somebody's house and you're pretty young and it just, you couldn't hang with it.
I think I watched, either it was an Amityville Horror or Poltergeist. And I remember there being, like, insanely huge dogs that were, like, just barking down this, like, one hallway. And they were, like, all bloodied with their mouths. It was, like, a really young memory of it, though. So all I know is that it, like, freaked me out of dogs for, like, a good while.
Yeah, yeah.
It gave me a...
What are we talking about? Elementary school years?
Yeah, elementary school years.
Okay.
It was a pretty jarring memory. And I remember having nightmares for like a long time after. But I don't exactly. I know the friend's house though. This fellow named Randy.
Yeah.
I'd go over his house and I'd watch.
It wasn't the Macho Man, was it?
No, not the Macho Man. Neighbor's house.
Okay.
And they put on some pretty scary movies there too. But my parents aren't that hardcore about it. They
didn't really restrict you too much.
Yeah, restrict me too much.
Yeah.
But when that movie was pretty freaky. Speaking of not a freaky movie, because I'm not going to, I'm going to talk about Gone Girl for a second.
Sure.
I watched that movie with Ben Affleck, directed by David Fincher. And David Fincher is, you know, one of my most beloved directors because, you know, he did such an excellent job with The Social Network, Fight Club, and a host of other things. Gone Girl, actually, I don't feel like it's like an evolution of his ability, just a reassertion of his ability. He's a great filmmaker, has an excellent filmmaking technique, but there wasn't a story that... I mean, the story was interesting and fascinating, but it wasn't a story that made me feel enlightened or encouraged or, you know, opened my mind or whatever. I don't know. But I did enjoy it. Gone Girl was a pretty interesting movie, and I would say people to check it out because there's a sort of twisty, turny plot that I really enjoyed.
I'd like to watch it. Honestly, there's something ringing in my head still, which is my mom came over for dinner at my house last night, and she said, "Oh, my sister-in-law recommended. Oh, you've got to see this movie." Uh-huh. To my mom, and then she takes her girlfriend there, and ladies' night out, you know, and so. Super gory for them and really uncomfortable sex scenes, you know? So I always tell my mother, I always say, just speak to me before you go to the theater. Like, I can tell you, I could have told you that would not have been for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So she comes out feeling kind of bummed, you know? And this happens more often than not with her because something will get some critical praise or whatever and she'll go check it out.
But these are intense movies that get critical praise.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, so, I mean... You care to comment on some of the more sensational aspects of the filmmaking there, Gone Girl?
I mean, it is a very sort of harsh movie. It doesn't really have that many redeeming qualities, and it's more about the viciousness or the possible viciousness in marriage and in love, and, you know, how we make it into, like, this sort of great, protected, heralded thing, but then there's all these sort of machinations that are that underplay most marriages, and in terms of how we treat each other, like, oh... Yeah, you're my husband, you're my wife, but we have like these little social contracts that we have with each other that poison the relationship sometimes. And this movie just really goes into that and looks at those things really, really cynically. So I can see how it can be a really depressing and just difficult movie to watch.
I got a little distracted because a dude just rode by with two bikes. It's like he's riding one and he's sort of coasting one with his hand on the side. Something sketchy probably going on. I mean, when's the last time you rode two bikes at once? I mean, it's a little bit odd looking.
It is odd looking, but we are in the heart of Hayward, the downtown area.
The heart of the bay, as some might say. I mean, the heart is struggling to stay beating, but they still hold on to that tagline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Downtown Hayward...
It's gotten better, man.
It's gotten better.
It's gotten better.
I'm looking down the street. It looks pretty nice. So, you know.
Sean approves of the shrubbery, the landscaping.
The Christmas, we got Christmas light shrubbery. That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's true.
And so we encourage you to come down here and then check it out. We've got, you know, tons of acts. We'll have tons of prizes. Well, not tons, but
a
prizes,
few.
You know. And we've been doing this podcast for 4 years now.
Like 4 years.
Yeah,
man.
4 years. And we've watched 80, like, we've done 86 episodes, but I don't know how many movies.
Plus some Academy Award episodes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
man. I mean, at least minimum 170 movies that we probably watch for this. Yeah.
So we've watched a lot of movies and we've, you know, worked on this podcast a fair bit.
So seize the opportunity to be in the halls of knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
Cinema knowledge at minimum.
Yeah. So, be sure to come on down here. Check it out. And check out our very last final live show for Highbrow Lowbrow. You can check us out on the web at hlpod.blogspot.com, or you can find us on Facebook at highbrow!lowbrow? And make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, highbrow!lowbrow?
Nice. And we hope you'll join us once again next time.
One last time.
One last time when we try to find out who was right.
the critics or the masses?
In Hayward, California, on November 29th, the highbrow, lowbrow show will be live. Lots of conversation while we partake of some brews after 90 episodes. What more can we prove? Won't you join us there? At the Bistro on B Street. If you come prepared, you.
Yes, you.
Might win a prize.
This sounds wonderful.
In Hayward, California, on November 29th, the highbrow, lowbrow show will be live.